Beautiful.
Beautiful.
You can intro this week, Jackson. I did the last two, I believe.
Well, how about Kaya? Huh? No. Okay. Hey, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of the official podcast, the officialist podcast on the internet. I'm your host, Jackson. We've got Andrew, Charlie, and Kaya, as per usual. And special guest this week, Rice Pirate. How's it going?
Yo.
Do you want to introduce yourself to our audience and stuff like that? Tell them what you're all about.
Sure. I guess Rice Pirate's my internet name, but Mick is what most people call me outside of the internet.
Okay.
And yeah, no, it's great to be here. I'm a voice actor and an animator, and honestly, I have no idea what devious deed I did to get on this glorious honor of being on this podcast.
It was probably that Yu-Gi-Oh cartoon
okay,
that pushed it.
Great.
We were like, oh, you know, Rice Pirate, maybe.
It's nice and relevant.
I don't like his face. Yeah, I don't like his shit, but then Twitch did their Yu-Gi-Oh greet-a-thon.
You know, that was really serendipitous. Like that, I mean, the Yu-Gi-Oh thing was so out of the blue, because I had just kind of picked it up because of Duel Links. I don't know if you guys know what that is. It dropped on the iPhone.
Oh, baby.
Dude.
Yeah, man.
And
wait, what's that?
It's Yu-Gi-Oh. It's the game Yu-Gi-Oh, but on your phone. And the thing is for retards like me, sorry, are we not allowed to say that? I don't know. Anyways,
talk about them jerking themselves off too.
Yeah, that too.
Anything goes.
No, but I'm terrible at these games, whether it's Magic or any of this. And I never got into them because the rules are just too convoluted for my small, tiny peanut brain. But what's great about Duel Links is that it knows all the rules. So I can't fuck up. I mean, I can play the wrong cards, you know what I mean? But like, it does all the calculations for me. It knows all the rules for when I can do things. So you just sit back and get your ass kicked by, you know, 13-year-olds from Brazil online. It's great.
Do you feel like you can go out in person and face these high schoolers?
No, I would never, ever do it. And also, if you've ever seen real Yu-Gi-Oh! Tournaments, some of these people look like gangbangers. These guys look like they would seriously fuck you up. And
well, yeah, I don't know about that.
My testosterone.
Toughest crowd in the area for sure.
What you get? Yeah,
I wouldn't
you
fuck
going
with
to?
Those guys.
Jesus.
God damn.
Yeah. The school of hard knocks for Yu-Gi-Oh players.
It's
over
true.
Here,
it's true. If you Google crazy wild Yu-Gi-Oh match, it's like in some like shell, like the cafeteria of like a soup kitchen or in the back alley of some building, and you'll just see guys going nuts over their cards.
Well, no shit. Seriously. They were probably dueling for food.
They probably yeah. were.
Yeah, he probably just yeah. chose some bum
what,
fights
what
of
you
Yu-Gi-Oh.
Know, what you don't know is off camera, the loser starved to death.
Banished to the shadow realm.
Yeah, so after that game came out, I kind of got into it, and then I decided to make this parody. And actually, a side note, my voiceover coach, Dan Green, a.k.a. Jay Snyder, was Yugi. He voices the lower bass voice of the Yu-Gi-Oh guy, or Yami. And so it was just interesting to hear him. And I actually voiced in Yu-Gi-Oh as well, Yu-Gi-Oh Zexal. As a farting, burping teacher to Yuma or some shit. And after that, I just watched the entire series, made the cartoon, and then Twitch did their marathon. And it was like, oh, fun. Great.
Pretty good timing.
Long story. Who cares? There you go.
Do you go to conventions and sign shit as like the farting, shitting teacher thing?
Never. Never.
No.
Ever. No.
I'd be doing that all over the place, even if they didn't want me there.
Just set up your own booth.
My own shit.
Yeah. Print out a black and white copy of a picture of the character. Yeah, no. I don't think anyone's seen
I'd be signing titties and manga with my name on it. Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. Before we get into talking about things not related to honey, I want to talk about honey. So when you're shopping online, let me ask you, do you search for the internet for promo codes before checking out? Because there's always just a billion little codes flying around for like,
no, I just try to get through that checkpoint, what's it called? The checkout as fast as I can.
Checkpoint. Okay. Sonic.
The TSA.
Gonna lose all the rings.
That way, Jackson, if you die, you can go right back to where you were in shopping.
I just want to get my items as quickly as possible, Andrew.
Well, fuck you, Jackson. We're going to help you get them even quicker and with a bunch of internet money-saving codes thanks to Honey. Oh, well, guess what? Next week is, folks. It's Black Friday.
Yay!
You might want to get some of those new toys. You know, Skyrim is coming out on a couple of new consoles. You might want to get all of those, including the new toaster and French press it's coming out for. And, you know, Black Friday, what you even need more than all the discounts is a good checkout coupon. Isn't that right, fellas?
Oh, absolutely.
Agreed. Absolutely.
The only thing sweeter than a discount is honey. So what is honey, Charlie? Tell me about honey.
Honey is a desktop browser extension. It's available on the only Internet Explorers that actually matter. Everything but Edge, for the most part. It'll save you money. It'll save you time. It's only two clicks. And when you're checking out, it's going to save you a fuckload of money. Jackson, you like saving money. Well, not
really. I love saving money. Well,
perhaps we should tell them how it saves you money.
Well, what Honey does is when you go to the checkout page and you see that big ass price, that like big cock that's about to ram you in your asshole, Honey goes, Jesus hey, Christ. You might need some lube. Honey is good for that. And Honey applies the best checkout discount codes for you so you don't have to go on Google and Google something like Amazon discount code or whatever. By the way, Amazon's about to fuck you too, because right before Black Friday and Amazon Prime Day or whatever, they usually jack up the prices. So even when they apply the discount, they don't take as much of a hit. But Honey helps you remedy that a little bit, because even the best even the worst medicine tastes a little bit sweeter with some honey in it.
Speaking of getting fucked by Amazon, Amazon integration is already available with Honey, featuring various things such as price tracking that shows the trends of items. You can decide the best time to buy those items. A drop list that will let you know when items drop in price. Honey will tell you that. And the best price is available if the same item's available at another retailer besides Amazon, who, remember, they want to fuck you. Honey will tell you this. And it calculates everything. Tax, cost, shipping, Amazon Prime discount, everything you want. So you can choose the best way to either buy things or get fucked on the internet with Honey.
So to get this amazing and free desktop app to start saving money, go to joinhoney.com/official. In two clicks, you will have access to over 1 million working coupon codes.
Joinhoney.com/official. It's literally just a browser extension that gives you free coupons. You save money. Who doesn't like a free way to save fucking money, all right? You don't want to get fucked by any retailers. Fuck looking up free coupon codes that all are expired anyway, and all of them are lies, and it's always like... What?
The gist of it is, if you like shopping online, it's free. Just go use it. You save money.
Joinhoney.com/official.
Try Honey. Honey, it's sweet, and you can wrap it around your wiener.
I love the medicine.
Go do it.
It tastes better with honey.
It's a really good slogan.
It's from Mary Poppins, damn it.
Yeah.
Well, it's a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down, but it's honey in this context, all right? Get honey down your throat.
So, Mick, that's interesting. You said you have a voice acting coach.
Yeah.
So what does that kind of, how does that work? I didn't know that there were really voice acting coaches. I knew that there were like acting coaches, but
dude, there's coaches for everything, man. I mean, there's even coaches for like Let's Players in Minecraft and shit, but this was...
That's the saddest thing.
That is so sad. Imagine all the professionally trained Let's Players out there failing right now.
I was joking about it on another podcast a while ago that there was, you know, like all these kids growing up, like nobody wants to be doctors or astronauts or fucking anything anymore. They want to be Let's Players and drama reporters. And honestly, I was like, at some point someone's going to drop like some online class series, you know, some TED Talk on how to do Let's Plays. And lo and behold, I think somebody linked me on Twitter that there is somebody doing that now. I'm sure there's more than one person doing it now.
I wouldn't be surprised. TED is the most shittiest thing out there.
They didn't used to be.
They have a talk on everything.
They didn't used to be. They used to be great, but now they've gone the way of Vice News, where they have to report on every and anything that's remotely even possibly interesting, but it's all garbage.
TED gets a fucking talk. I think the owner of TED gave a talk about TED Talks or something.
There's a TED Talk on how to wipe your hands with paper towels.
It's TEDx that does all this. They become like the WikiHow of TED Talk or of talks, right?
So that's not the
That's
like the second channel. Like that's not their main channel. It's like their behind the scenes vlog channel, essentially. The TED Talk.
Yeah, I thought
TEDx.
That was their shit posting one though.
No, absolutely not. The TED and TEDx. I don't even know the difference. But when I go on their front page, TED.com,
It's garbage. All of this is garbage. Yeah. Why we laugh? Who gives a fuck?
I'd actually like to read that one.
Oh my god, Andrew.
I mean, they used to be good, though. They fell from grace really hard. Back in like the late 2000s, they used to do really interesting shit.
Yeah.
Look at this. A Pro Wrestler's Guide to Confidence. You act.
That is so specific, too.
Yeah, that's pretty weird.
That is so specific. Yeah.
It depends. Well, it does depend on the wrestler. If it's like Brock Lesnar or John Cena, it could be interesting to read.
I would definitely see that, but I wouldn't care what they had to say.
But if it's like Kurt Angle or someone who doesn't give a fuck, then fuck it.
Oh, this one's rich. Listen to this one, fellas. What's it like to be a woman in Hollywood?
Oh, wow.
No. Oh, that's topical. I wonder if she calls out anybody. I doubt.
Yeah,
it.
I was gonna say it sounds like they may have gone down the route of so many other online like news outlets and whatnot, where they used to be good and now they are literally all following that clickbait bandwagon where they have to hit that topical thing. They have to hit these, you know, Twitter trends in order just to get people to click on it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Well, that's because that kind of medium's dying now. I mean, how many people really want to listen to Stone Cold Steve Austin talk about envelope adhesives at a TED Talk?
I would absolutely love to listen to Stone Cold Steve Austin.
You literally had me up until the topic. If you had talked about like Stone Cold Steve Austin talking about his grandfather, you know, on a farm in Texas or some shit, I would listen to that. But yeah,
have you seen? Speaking of Stone Cold, have you seen that he goes on all caps Facebook rants now against Confederate flag wielders? Like literally he finds people who try to support the Confederate flag and he just types at them in all caps like the Texas rattlesnake thinks you're being an ignorant ass, and like just he reams them out in public and it's really goddamn funny.
I like the third person of that. I like when people refer to themselves. Yeah,
he always does that, and then he ends almost everywhere with, and that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold says it's so great.
Doesn't the Iron Sheik do the exact same thing these days?
Is he still alive?
I thought he had dementia or something. Yeah. I thought he ranted about like 9/11 conspiracies.
Yeah, no, here, all of his tweets are uppercase. I feel like this is some sort of a WWE retirement program where they just give you an all caps Twitter. From the bottom of my heart, go fuck yourselves.
That's the Iron
Sheik.
That's
what he says.
Nice.
Yeah, that's the Iron Sheik.
A lot of them have started, I mean, like, Hogan.
I like this song. On sale now, me breaking your fucking neck.
But, all right, Iron Sheik has it figured out. I support him. Now.
Yeah. The Iron Sheik only has a net worth of 50,000.
That's oh my so sad.
That's what really, really sad.
Wow. Do you guys have a domain name for your podcast?
Yes.
I bet that has a higher value than all of him.
Oh, you are giving us way too much credit.
Yeah, I mean, you probably couldn't sell our domain for 10 Sia coins, and that's not even worth a penny.
Yeah, no,
man.
The only domains that are worth anything are the child porn ones.
Those are all open. Yeah. As surprising as that may be, Mick, nearly every childporn.com site is open.
There's .com, but if you want, you can get childporn.attorney for $900.
I'm hoping I missed the episode where you guys like Google all this shit, because you seem to have this right off the top of your head.
You did.
All these facts. That was
actually, oh, yeah. I
caught on immediately.
Speaking
yeah.
of the Iron Sheik, I just found a Yahoo Sports article about him. Apparently, he got addicted to crack while he was a wrestler.
It's such a sad and common story, though, for a lot of those guys. Yeah, crack is a weird one, though. Yeah.
I would totally get if he was addicted to like steroids.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, maybe painkillers.
Painkillers make sense, yeah.
But crack is an odd choice for a wrestler, I think. Cocaine, yeah, maybe.
That? Why? Could you imagine getting in the ring? You're about to do like four somersaults and land on a dude, and you're about to like break tables and chairs over people and leap 30 feet in the air onto people, and the guy walks in, he's the guy you're going to wrestle, and you can see it in his eyes. He's got that glazed, dopey look in his face. His eyes are just freaking like crusty red. You're like, oh, fuck, dude, are you on crack again? Like,
that would scare the shit out of me.
It would. I would be so scared.
I mean, think about it. These stunts take, like, physical demand and coordination and shit, and you're working with basically an animal by that point.
Could have a knife on him, too.
Literally, it's not far flung. You'd ask him if he wants to do a suplex, and he'd just fucking growl at you.
Yeah. Those are the, you know what, to be fair, if we go back in time and watch some of those matches, those might have been some of the best. Because we were like, damn, look at the damage this guy's taking. He fell on his head on concrete, like from 10 feet. They've been bashing him for an hour. He still won't go down. The cops are coming in. This looks real.
I mean, Kurt Angle broke his fucking neck in the ring at some point. Yeah. I don't remember when.
Kurt Angle, I remember that. Kurt Angle also... So, you know, he was originally an Olympic wrestler, right? And that was his shtick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he had a beef with some dude in wrestling so bad, like an actual like fucking back and forth, that he put him in a match in actual Olympic holds and tried to snap his leg. You can find the match. Really? The dude's like in actual horrible pain. Kurt Angle's an asshole if he's listening.
Kurt Angle, if you're listening, come on the podcast and promote your TED Talks.
He does. He's the more I look at him, like his tan, at least from what I saw, his tan's gotten darker. His head is growing more into his neck, which I didn't know was possible. You know, and with his shaved head, he kind of does look like the Thing more and more, you know, from the Fantastic Four.
He really does.
Yeah, I'm serious. Take a look up side by side. They're getting close.
I like how you had to qualify the Thing. You know that failed series, The Fantastic Four?
Yeah. This one might be a little too old for you youngsters out there.
Well, they've tried several times. None of them make it past, you know, a week in the box office. So maybe
they
people
keep
haven't
fucking
seen
it up so badly.
They're so bad.
I don't get how they make these decisions. The first one was a fucking sitcom.
Yeah.
The second one, Galactus, was a literal fart cloud in space. And then
that was so disappointing.
And then the newest one was just a fucking dark, edgy teen drama that made no goddamn sense. I don't know how they keep fucking it up.
If you put them side by side with like the other Marvel stuff, it looks like made for TV schlock.
Yeah.
It looks like, you know what I mean? Like it just doesn't even, it's not even close.
They just keep fucking it up.
Yeah, if you're listening to this, Fox, you got to do better with that IP.
How long till they let it go? Because didn't Sony finally release Spider-Man for Marvel?
They did.
He was
really.
In Civil War. I know that.
I thought that was like a weird bad divorce where like the kid has to visit Papa every other week. Like they didn't give away all the rights. Like they both kind of have rights.
I think it was like a joint venture.
Was Homecoming by Sony?
Both.
No, it was Marvel.
It was Marvel.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And I think Sony produces it, but then Marvel, wait.
Other
Marvel
way around,
produces
maybe?
It, but then Sony gets profits, but they pay royalty. I don't fucking know. It's weird.
Yeah.
That is weird.
It's the Yu-Gi-Oh of fucking movie deals. Nobody understands it.
It's distributed by Sony. Apparently.
Okay,
there we go.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, all
that makes more sense.
All that I know in my heart is Tobey Maguire is the best Spider-Man. Anyway,
yeah, for real, Tobey Maguire. If you're listening out there from whatever box you're living in these days, please. Keep up the good work, and we hope you make a glamorous return to the limelight.
Is he dead? What happened to him?
Good question.
That's what an A-list actor wants to hear, speculation on his death already. I'm sure he's all right somewhere, struggling, but...
He was in Boss Baby.
Was he?
Yeah, he was the narrator / adult Tim.
What? Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. He's on
side
a
by
TV
side
series.
With Alec Baldwin? Okay, still.
He's on
still.
A TV series called Spoils of Babylon. And
that sounds like a real,
I mean, to be fair, he wasn't gone for that long. He was in Great Gatsby, and that was 2013. That wasn't that long ago.
It was 5 years ago, Andrew.
That's not that long for a Hollywood career.
That's a century in Hollywood.
Yeah.
That is a really long time in Hollywood.
Yeah. Fair enough. I meant for a whole career, though. You know, he could,
it's like
he
the
could...
age of consent in Hollywood.
Oh, wow.
All I'm saying is Tobey Maguire.
There's
could
an
easily...
age of consent? I thought that was proven false, that there was no age of consent. They just do whatever they want whenever
your
they want.
Your consent is consent. If Harvey Weinstein wants to get your consent.
Yeah. Your consent is implied by your presence in Hollywood.
Yes.
Yeah. Remember.
I like that. Well, you are at my summer home.
Oh, God.
And you are doped up. I guess that's a yes.
Well, actually,
How am I supposed to interpret this? You know, like...
Well, we didn't think about it from every angle. There was consent. Harvey Weinstein gave consent.
Yeah.
He gave his consent that thing would happen.
So did Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
Ooh. Ooh.
Oh, that's a fresh wound. I just read about that today.
What is everyone's consensus on this? I'm curious, because I'm not going to lie.
He's a hero for coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like everyone's known this for so long. I feel like this
they all know.
Yeah, and I even remember having a conversation with my dear roommate who feels very informed about things, where I had mentioned that I believe Kevin Spacey was gay. I only say that because I hope he listens to this.
me too. If Kevin Spacey listens to this,
that's my roommate, by the way. Exactly. Kevin.
Apparently, he pulled an old bait and switch and said, according to rumors, stories, and allegations against me, I would like to take this moment to confess I am gay.
Yeah. It was
the old switcheroo.
Did he say confess that I'm gay?
That's the paraphrased quote. It might not be completely right. I'm trying to find where he actually said it.
See, that's a choice word Twitter. To say, like, I confess to being gay.
As though I admit it.
Crime.
Here it is. He says, I honestly do not remember the encounter. It would have been over 30 years ago. But if I did behave then, as he describes, I owe him the sincerest apology for what would have been deeply inappropriate drunken behavior. I like all these qualifiers.
There's a lot of qualifiers.
30 years ago,
there.
If I did it, it would have been drunken behavior. Sorry.
That's something I wanted to bring up to you, Kaya. I read this thing and saw some evidence for it where when people are lying, they say way wordier and longer sentences than normal.
Oh, absolutely.
So you just notice how many
things like I'm gay.
Yeah, you notice how many things he's qualifying in that sentence. If I did it, possibly my drunken behavior, which I am ashamed for. It's like, get to the fucking point. Now we know you're lying.
It was also during Halloween. I had a lot of trick or treat candy.
Possibly it may have happened if these allegations are true. Maybe I don't know. Not
exactly.
At some point, I feel like they like negate each other. It's like I did not do the thing that I didn't. Possibly not do.
Damn, well now I'm confused. You
know, he's counting the number of knots until people forget it and stop asking.
I like this snippet too. And I choose now to live as a gay man. I think it shows back then when he creeped up on a 14-year-old boy, but that just might.
When's he going to choose to be a pedophile? Me.
All right, so he was 14. The kid was 14 and he was 20-something?
He was 26.
The allegation is that Spacey kind of climbed on top of him in a bed or something. Okay. Tried to make moves.
Okay. Well, if that's the story, that's pretty fun. I thought it was like he was like 20-something and the other kid was like maybe 19 or almost 20 or something.
He was 14.
Okay. Yeah. That's, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Bad.
There's no coming back from that.
Yeah, that's bad.
No coming back until he wins his next day.
My question then was, do you think that takes away from the work he's done?
We actually had this exact discussion.
Think about all of the movies. Oh, you guys already had? I thought it just happened today.
Oh, not Kevin Spacey.
We were talking about someone else, and the general argument was if someone who made your favorite movie in the world came out as a Nazi, would that movie suddenly become a bad movie?
Well, Andrew, you're selling us short. We also predicted the Kevin Spacey drama many episodes ago. Please go back and check. I can't wait for our predictions on...
I can confirm. I don't know how long I've been ranting about Hollywood, but I've been calling them pedophiles and rapists. Yeah, quite a while. Jesus, this motherfucker has 72,000 likes on this.
Yeah.
Apology.
I just read it over.
But Lord. It's a really tough question, Mick, because... You know, if someone makes something that's near and dear to your heart and then years later it turns out they're a really horrible person, it does kind of sour.
It's going to have a negative impact on it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I also think there's a level of how personally connected they are to the work. Right. Like, if it's just something they acted in and it's just they're playing the role, then it's kind of how much you connect to them playing that role as opposed to maybe it's a movie they directly made or directly had a lot of involvement in.
Yeah, because so far, I mean, as far as we know, in terms of the allegations, this hasn't gotten to like Bill Cosby levels yet, you know. And so with like the Bill Cosby shit, you know, roofing and slipping into the slippy jacket, you know, with these ladies without their consent or even their consciousness for decades, that's one thing. But and I'm not saying that this is okay. I'm just wondering if the severity of a crime. Changes, you know what I mean? Or do we just say that was bad? Doesn't matter if you did it 100 times or if you did it once, it is just you're done. You're just done.
Well, House of Cards is done, yeah,
to a degree.
House of Cards like say that it stopped?
Yes. Yeah, it just started recording and now they've already canceled next season.
Wow. They're done. I didn't think that would happen. Jesus.
Yeah. That House of Cards fell.
Well, but they're still bringing out a new season, aren't they? It's just the last season. That's what I read.
Yeah, well, it wasn't meant to be the last season. They wanted to keep the show going, but yeah. After the Kevin Spacey drama that we on the official podcast had predicted many moons ago,
we broke fruition.
I like how everybody I talk shit about somehow magically they get entangled in drama.
Shit talk someone like right now. Make a new prediction.
Quick, yeah, make a prediction live.
Elon Musk, Charlie knows this. He's gonna fall from grace someday. No, because I shit talk Mick. I shit talked Neil deGrasse Tyson. And people are on his case now. The first day, people sent me messages. Nothing happened. People are just waking up to how he's a fucking false prophet.
He's a complete asshole of a person.
He's a douchebag. Yeah. But my point is, the first time I brought this up, people were like, well, he has a PhD. What do you know? And now people, you know, they don't like him as much. Bill Nye fell from grace hard. He fell hard.
He fell very hard.
He fell hard.
That new show.
He got hit by that fucking hate train.
Yeah, that new show is probably the worst mistake he's made.
Shit talk Hollywood, and now we've had a series of just confessions from women and children.
Yeah.
And I think the next one is going to be Elon Musk. I don't know when. I don't know how.
And?
But that motherfucker has a go.
SpaceX will work, and he'll fuck an alien.
You cast a very wide net, though. So you're...
Well, Elon Musk is not that wide of a net.
No, that's a white net.
That is very specific.
That's a specific one.
I'll give him that.
Yeah, how's that a white net? I've been calling out specific figures.
Yeah, but you call out a lot of different specific figures.
What is that supposed to mean?
Yeah, that's true. It's rapid fire. You just go down a list of who's top building.
My interest is peaked. I'm curious. Do we have a hint? Can you rattle the skull bones? Can you look at your crystal ball and tell us what is just an inkling?
You mean by crystal ball, you mean common sense?
Yes.
Are you talking about Elon Musk?
Yes.
Yeah. What? Are you talking about how he goes around promising people unicorns and, you know, Candyland and candy cane trees? And no, it's just how this man goes around promising all of these things, which are pretty much impossible. And then he gets all the applause. I like how he solved the Puerto Rico crisis.
He gave power to Puerto Rico. I saw a picture of it. There was like 20 solar panels.
A lamppost was on.
Meanwhile, Mark Zuckerberg took a fucking virtual tour of it. So maybe Elon is winning.
Well, Mick, to shift gears here,
sure.
I did want to ask something. What do you find yourself enjoying more, voice acting or making cartoons? What do you find yourself enjoying more as you get older here? And you are very old, make no mistake.
I am so fucking old. You know, it really depends on both. I know that's a shitty way to answer it, but like, I've voiced projects that were so fucking fun that I wish I could voice them forever. Partially... sometimes because they're fun and partially because they pay my bills. And that's even better when it's both of those things. Animation is almost never any of those things. It is fun, but it's never paying your bills. And it's not something that I want to wake up to, you know, every day. A voice gig is maybe a few hours here and there. If it's a long gig, you do a few hours over the course of a month or maybe more. But animations just kind of go on forever and ever. It's this Sisyphean torture where
this sounds like an obvious answer then, Jesus.
It doesn't really seem like voice acting,
but the thing is that the satisfaction that I get from finishing an animation is kind of uncomparable. Like, it is kind of like, yeah, the more you invest in it, the more happy you are that, you know, when it's completed. But I definitely feel more a greater sense of pride with that. But yeah, I mean, with the animations, people sometimes ask, like, what's your favorite part? And it's always... it's the beginning and the end. It's coming up with the idea and publishing it. Because when you have the idea, anything goes. Your imagination goes wild. It's Elon Musk, man. It's unicorns and flying cars and rocket boots. And, you know, everyone's president of the high school. You know, fucking candy for everyone. But when you start developing it, you realize your own limitations. Time gets involved. You start cutting stuff that you don't want to cut. Reality sets in. What could you actually possibly do? The ideas you had not looking how you want them to look, and ultimately a crushing kind of sense of just inability, not reaching those points that you want, and not creating what you had in your head, just watching it kind of fizzle. And then when you're done, though, even though it's not even close to maybe what you had in your head, there's still this great sense of accomplishment. And it does start to, once you start adding all the final touches, like the sound effects and the backgrounds and the final, you know, whatever you add to kind of wrap it up. It does kind of come back into shape. But that's the reason why so many animators, like, they start projects they never finish, because they have this idea. They're so motivated. They'll go on YouTube and tell everybody in the world they're going to make it. They'll be on Twitter. They'll post progress. And then all of a sudden, it's like, where did it go? It's like Tobey Maguire. You were dancing on sunshine in Spider-Man, and now where are you? Maybe you're a voice in the background of Boss Baby. That's not confirmed. We don't know. But you know what I mean? Like,
it's just speculation.
It's speculation. But that's kind of like it. But then if you do get through it, if you do finish it, sometimes you pick it up a year later or something like that. And yeah, there is a sense of that accomplishment. But I think with animation now, a lot of the guys, especially the ones I used to do stuff with on Newgrounds, like Zach, Psychic Pebbles, Chris, even like Ross, Rubber Ninja, and Aaron, from those guys from the Grumps universe.
Damn it. You broke the chain. Yeah. Fuck.
I was just about to butt in and say all of those you've listed have been on the official podcast until you got to Aaron.
Ah, sorry.
We have not had Aaron yet, but you had Ross, we've had the other three. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, not to diss on Aaron, but Ross has been doing a hell of a lot more animation than Aaron. So
yeah. Fuck you, Aaron.
No. I was just mentioning animators, and Aaron is definitely up there.
Yeah,
I
that's
say,
why you didn't mention Aaron. Oh shit.
That's it. Mick has issued a challenge. Aaron must come on the official podcast.
I hope he does.
Blow the whistle. How much sexual abuse is there in the animator community?
You know what? Surprisingly, I think there's very little. We haven't heard a whole lot. There has been a few that have popped up, and I'm not going to name them. You guys can Google it.
Really? I'm sure you guys have I don't know if this is a joke. Have there actually been?
Little do we know, Kevin Spacey was big on Newgrounds back in the day.
He's a big animator, yeah. Massive.
There has been a couple of guys that have popped up on the radar. But again, I'm sure you can just Google
community.
It is any community. Mm-hmm. And it's not surprising that like the content was probably geared more towards kids or some shit. You know, that shit always just fucking happens.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. I mean, and again, that's unsubstantiated. I'm not going to name them, partially because I don't need to propagate it, and B, because I don't know who, you know, I don't know how true any of these things are. But there was definitely the drama of it, but there's definitely a lot less. And I think it's because with animators, we spend a lot of time. This is the thing. People who spend their time like lurking and hunting down prey, like underage kids and having like these weird side lives. I don't know where you get the fucking time to do it. Because if you are actually animating, if you're actually like creating this shit, all of your time is already taken. You don't have enough time to fuck your own girlfriend, let alone go out and try to fuck other kids or some shit.
Trust me, these predators will find time.
What do you mean other kids as if their girlfriend is already a kid?
That's right.
Yeah, as if they have girlfriends.
Yeah, that too. That's even, you know, I got a divorce partially probably because of my addiction to animation. I didn't.
Yikes, you make it sound awful, man.
No. Again, it's a great
starting hard booze.
I've had a few drinks. I love it. But what I was mentioning, those other guys like Zach and Chris and Ross, was to have a team. That makes all the difference in the world.
It's you just want friendship.
That too, you get to talk to other human beings instead of being holed up in a dark cave staring at a glowing Cintiq, you know, aging. But I think that when you have a team of people, everybody, like even with this podcast, exact same thing, where everybody, like let's say one of you guys is not feeling it, right? Or two of you guys ain't feeling it. You still got two other guys.
Four?
Or all four. Then you got your guest, and it's their job to lug all four of your dead corpses up a hill.
Once again, Mick, thank you so much. I know that we ranted for like 20 minutes before we started recording about how sick we are of this shit. So
I know. I was like, guys, come on. This is my opportunity. I've always wanted to be on the show. I've listened to every episode. Don't ruin this for me. Yeah, don't ruin this for me, guys.
This is the one.
But yeah,
he's
having a team.
He's looking out of animating hell.
Yeah, having a team makes animating hell at least a group activity. And I think that makes a huge difference. And that's definitely the way I think most animators should go if they're going to start taking shit seriously. Long answer to a simple question.
No, I think that's a totally good answer. Good answer. Yeah.
Don't molest kids. That's the moral.
Don't,
story.
That's the, don't Elon that, Musk kids. Yes.
That's the moral to every single story ever.
Yeah, it's a good moral to stories for the most part.
Yeah, it's
that's
a good what?
Yeah, a good way to do it is don't do it.
I mean, those guides are apparently out there. I love reading up on all the FBI stories and all that kind of shit, and apparently they do have, like, guides of how to get away with, you know, diddling your kitties.
That's fucked up, man.
Wow. Wait, in the news?
That is fucked up.
Like a TED Talk guide or like on the news? Like you heard like an article about it.
The newest TED Talk.
Probably. Probably. I mean, they might be on TED soon. Who knows?
Yeah, based on the way
I don't
TED's
feel like.
Going.
I don't get the impression that TED has any standards. So if yeah. Kevin Spacey walked up there, Bill Cosby, I feel like he would get his time.
Yeah, probably.
Talking about kitty diddlers, did you guys see that? the BuzzFeed guys and how they all have lower testosterone than 80-year-old women.
Wait, how did anyone ever figure that out? Who snuck into the office and took blood from all of their nuts? No.
Give us the details on this, because I don't know about this. Yeah.
Yes, please. So the BuzzFeed has apparently like a group of four guys, and they made a video. And you can already tell like these aren't... You know, it's not exactly the kind of man you'd call masculine or really men. And it was a video called Who's the Most Attractive of Us or something like that. And it's like four guys from the BuzzFeed offices. Point is, they did a testosterone test. They did all these scientific tests. They measured their face angles and measurements and all that kind of shit to scientifically determine who's the most attractive.
Normal shit that guys do at the office. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, but people screenshotted the testosterone scores because they all had like 200 nanograms per milliliter, something like that, which is less than half of what men their age should have. And all four of them were lower than what men their age should have, so it turned into this meme of there are no men at BuzzFeed.
You know that none of them, when they got the results, they actually didn't know what the numbers meant. All they were doing was comparing like, yeah, dude, I got like 200, man. You only got like 170.
No, that would make them more manly. That would make them more
Oh, that's
more
true.
Men than
it was
what
like, oh my God, look at that score. That's really good.
You're such a Samantha.
Yeah.
Everyone go get your participation ribbons.
You know what's really funny is I'm not trying to be mean, but there's probably some ladies at that office that got higher testosterone levels than those dudes.
Oh, there's
no, they do.
Yeah, no doubt in my mind.
Yeah,
I just give you that. There, well, you know it's fucking over when the guy with the highest testosterone in your office is called Eugene.
Yeah, Eugene. That's already game, set, and match. His book was written before he even got out of the room,
and he has less testosterone than a man aged 100 should have.
Good.
Come on, BuzzFeed.
Bust some fat nuts in the office or something. Let's get those numbers up. Those are rookie numbers.
Wow, that's.
So there's four guys. Did I hear this right? There's four guys at BuzzFeed total?
Yes, we are those four guys at BuzzFeed.
Not even. Not even, apparently.
Just reading this list gives me like an overwhelming sadness. Yeah. It hurts me to look at it.
It's sad until you realize the money those four make combined.
That's true. To eat pizza and shill it super hard. Have you seen their series on BuzzFeed? I got bored one day and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna try BuzzFeed. I'm going to find an innocuous series and just... See what they do. They have this series where it's like, can the greatest thing of something be as good as a cheap thing as something? So
yeah, they do that all
they
the time.
Like pizza, and they're like, is a $10 pizza as good as a $600 pizza? And as I watched each episode, I realized it's just fucking advertisements.
Yeah.
They just go, we're here at Blaze Pizza for the famous $10 Blaze Pizza. And then they eat it, and it's always good. It's always the best thing they've ever had, and they're always like, you know, I think this stands a chance against the expensive thing. Like, God.
My favorite videos...
Awesome reviews. Just, yeah. I can feel my estrogen levels right now.
My favorite series that they have on BuzzFeed is the Bait series. It's not called Bait series, but that's basically what it is. When they're like, what is it? They got like 100 of these, or hundreds of them. They're like... What are 10 things white people do to X?
Those.
Or
okay.
what are 5 things that men do to X? And right. It's not just women. It's like really some of it's random. Like, what are 10 reasons? What are 10 things men should work on with animals? Just like, I mean, they'll go on like fucking anything about that shit. And it always
it's like Mad Libs. They're just like, there's two adjectives that they just constantly swap out.
You gotta love the like... 10 reasons why white men are evil kind of articles.
Love
that they always
love
them. I love the arguments online about, do you guys know they now have a wing or like a section called BuzzFeed News.
Mm-hmm.
And they will have a bunch of people on the internet. Like, it's always the same sentence, almost verbatim, used to defend it is, well, I know BuzzFeed has sort of a shitty reputation, but BuzzFeed News is kind of good. I hear all, they use, you know, the revenue they make from BuzzFeed to fund their news department, which is really legitimate.
Those articles could literally be swapped out with any other article they have.
Yeah.
They are the exact same articles.
I feel like you could keep the titles and then swap all the text with lorem ipsum and no one would notice.
Yes.
Maybe. Did you guys see somebody make a Chrome add-on that switches the words white with Jew? And BuzzFeed's, it basically all the BuzzFeed kind of outlets suddenly turn into white supremacist websites. Like every single article is just ripping on Jews. That's my fear. It's like 10 reasons Jews are shit.
I don't get that mentality of how any human being can feel like it's healthy to look around and say, like, half the people on this planet are going to rape me or potentially rape me. Or no. You know what I'm saying, though. The whole, like, there was a whole thing that they had, like,
creating hysteria.
Yeah, it was the whole, like, these are 5 reasons or 10 reasons or 100 reasons why any man could rape you. And it's just like, why does this exist? Because I understand that educating people about predators is important. The Weinstein shit is an example. The Kevin Spacey thing, again, I don't know how true it is, but if it is, then something like that, you know, a 20-something-year-old going after a 14-year-old, obviously there's a problem in some, it's been happening throughout all of history. But to have this mentality of kill all white people, which is a shirt that I've seen worn, and, you know, all men lie, all men rape, it's like, this isn't helping anybody.
Yeah.
At all.
I don't know. I feel like sometimes, you know, you read that kind of stuff and you roll your eyes or you get kind of upset. Like, this is stupid. But at the same time, I feel like a little bit of, is it mental illness at some
point? It has to be.
Because imagine this. Imagine, God forbid, let's say you have a family member or a friend who has mental illness and they get put into an asylum, like an actual asylum, right?
Yeah.
And you go to visit them or something, and they're just so fucked up, like they're sitting there in a fetal position, rocking back and forth, talking about how these looming shadows are over them and they're gonna, like, they're demons or they're eating her flesh or something. Mm-hmm. And you're like, geez, dude, like, this person is suffering 24 hours a day from these fears of things that just don't overlap with actual reality. Yeah. Like, these things don't exist. This is so fucking creepy and sad. I feel horrible for this person. And some of these people, I guess, live like that. Yeah. They actually think some guy at the bar who says, like, hey, can I buy you a drink? Like, that guy is that demon. He's like, you know, that's Kevin Spacey. He's going to rape me.
Yeah.
I mean, the other problem is they don't really even have an interest in educating. They just want superiority or to shame
people. Of course.
There was some dude. No, Charlie, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's just the whole thing about keeping people scared. It helps all the companies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fear is a really
good
thing.
Oh, yeah. Really, I don't know if you guys saw it on Twitter. It was the first thing in a while that made me, like, physically angry was, some dude who was a big proponent of the Second Amendment put up this rant on Twitter where he had some traumatic experience. I don't remember exactly what he was. It may have been he was at the Vegas shooting or he got shot at because of something. Mm-hmm. And essentially his rant was, I've learned now that, like, I don't want guns. I don't want them in my life. I don't want them near me. I don't like them. It's bad, whatever. And a lot of people were positive and feeling it, supportive of it, but there was a big group on Twitter that got a lot of likes where it's like, oh, you're just such a child that you had those beliefs before. I can't believe you ever felt that way. You know, it took this to snap you out of it. What the fuck is wrong with you? It's like, that's not going to help anybody.
Yeah.
That's not helping anybody, regardless of how he came to the conclusion. You don't shun him or shame him like a fucking mom.
No, these people, they're so counterproductive to their own cause. It's really weird. Like, no matter where you stand on any issue, somebody switches over to your side, or they're considering it, or they're warm to your cause. You know, they're like, yeah, this kind of makes sense. Why do you think it makes sense to, like, condemn them and shame them and attack them? It's weird.
Make them feel bad for joining?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make them feel bad for joining. Like, these let's be fair, it's not like it's all of them who do this, but, like, this extremely social justice.
Yeah.
Like, yeah,
it's unfortunate they're the loudest ones, too. They're the ones who get in the headlines.
Is, yeah.
Yeah, they're the ones who
it sucks.
Create. Yeah, they're
but
the mascots.
But I don't want to be, I just don't want to be unfair and say, like, this is all liberals. You know, it's not.
It's not. It's both
like
sides.
Extreme on, it's like some
on all sides.
On the corner of the BuzzFeed forums, you'll see something like, this is why male allies are the most evil. Gee, like, calm down. They're trying to help you. Why are you being such a jerk to them?
Yeah.
Like, that's not enough. At some point, can you just say thank you? Even if you had a good cause, even if I agreed with you that you are somehow the most suffering individual on the planet, can you just go like thumbs up guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and I guarantee there's an article somewhere that's like top 10 reasons why male feminists are actually predators. Shit like that.
Well, you know, like, no, that's different because they are.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, to be fair. Okay, yes. To be fair.
Did you guys see that meme where people took a bunch of photos of animals and superimposed them? Like, sometimes predators will hide using camouflage, like a dead leaf mantis who looks like a leaf, and a stonefish who looks like coral, and a male feminist who looks like he respects women. Which I love that.
Yes. So obviously there's that. But I do think that carries over to other situations that are probably more sincere, where there are people who are trying to help, who are genuinely trying to do something good, or they're like, hey, you know what? I do believe that, you know, that certain women are not treated equally and that, you know, there should be something done about it. And yet they're immediate. I mean, I don't know. I just feel like unless you're on one of the sides, anyone who's not on one of the polar sides is an enemy. If you're anywhere in the middle, anywhere even close to the middle, you are a target to both sides. Both, literally, oh, no. You're in the crossfire. You are an enemy to everyone. Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, no, you seem to have noticed. It's just the centrism gets attacked so much. How dare you not pick a side? Yeah. How dare you not want to choose between Nazis and communists? Yeah.
And that verbiage of picking a side, we're drawing a line in the sand. You're either with him or against. You're either with them or against. You know what I mean? That verbiage has been so popularized lately, especially when it comes to Trump. It's like you're either, if you in any way support Trump, you are absolutely get out of my face. You know, Eminem did it. A bunch of people have said stuff like that. To be fair, his roast was pretty epic. I thought it was awesome. But yeah, it's just, I don't know.
No, it's, I mean, that's politics. At least, like, you know, you can kind of go, okay, fair enough. People feel strongly about politics. But the other day I was on Twitter and somebody was saying that not taking a side on Gamergate means you're a Nazi.
Sure.
It was like a series, like they had a whole thread going and it was like, hey, well, oh, you say you were neutral on Gamergate? Well, did you know it was directly linked to the violence at Charlottesville? No, it wasn't.
I like how neutrality equates to being a Nazi. Literally, just not having an opinion at all. You're not, someone could knock on your door and be like, have you heard of Gamergate? And you're like, what? No. What is it? Is that like a new, what is that? Sorry. You're a Nazi. Oh, okay. Goodbye. Have a good day. You know? Jesus.
Well, speaking of Nazis, though, I think the actual Nazis are the freebooters, and that that's something I wanted to talk about, Mick, because a lot of your shit gets freebooted all over the place.
Yeah,
and I just
hate
wanted
those
to
white supremacists.
Yeah, those are the worst. Those are the worst guys. So, what is your stance on freebooting? I guess
freebooting is when they rip my stuff and post it themselves.
Yeah, which has happened to like literally all of your shit from what I've seen. Yeah, especially the Yu-Gi-Oh one.
I had a phrase for that. Before it was called freebooting, I used to call it a ripload. But not that.
Oh,
I
that's
coined...
such a that's so cool. Yeah, that's so much cooler.
All in favor of replacing that with ripload, because I love that.
But it was mainly because back when we were making like the initial animations on Newgrounds, we'd call it ripping because you'd have to rip. Obviously, they still kind of call it ripping, but and then they'd re-upload it. So re-upload rip. Anyways. I had a feeling about it. I had strong feelings about it, but it's kind of like having strong feelings about the impending inevitability of death. There's just not a whole lot you can do, you know, it's going to happen and I don't want to die today. And I don't want people to take my shit, but there's not really a whole lot of fighting you can do. If people are monetizing it, obviously you have a few more channels, but of like, you have a few more channels of action you can take. But other than that, you know, the thing that sucks about animation specifically, and you guys probably already just intuitively know this, is that unlike a Let's Play or a video of some sort where you actually see the person, an animation could be made by anybody. There's no faces. Mm-hmm. And that ends up being the case. That I think of all the things that are so frustrating is when you see somebody post it, it's got 10 times as many views as you have combined on all mediums,
And then underneath you see comments like, that was hilarious. Make more. And no. The real frustrating part is when you see the initial poster saying and replying, yeah, I got another thing in the works. And you're just like,
another thing that they stole in the works of uploading.
Yeah. And they're like, and you're going to love this next one. And it's like, you spineless, shitless motherfucker. I don't know if they're like 12 and living in like Thailand. I don't fucking know. But whoever the hell they are, they really should know better. And what's unfortunate is that you would hope that audiences would care, you know? But for the most part, they don't. They just like to, they see something funny, they laugh and they move on. And whoever made it, whatevs. Like, great, you made it. You know, and that's the thing. For a while, this is why I think a lot of animators kind of gave up on fighting for it in some cases. Because somebody would post it, and in some cases, a larger channel or a larger Facebook profile. And then you try to raise your hand and go, hey guys, I made that. Could you not do that, dude? Like, please just link the original if you like it, man. And everybody's just like, sit down. Just shut up.
Oh, no. I made anime. Oh, took.
You know what? You should be happy it's getting so much exposure, okay? Look at your channel. Your channel, it only got like 100,000 views. This channel, it got millions. You're welcome. Okay?
That's the worst mentality. Oh yeah, when it's like, you should be happy for this.
Yeah.
Fuck you, man. So what if you made it? Look at how much better it is over here on this guy.
All the exposure I'm gonna get in this video where they cropped out the watermark and they removed the credits at the
and
end.
They added their movie maker intro
at the end. Yeah, yeah. Remember to like and favorite for more of this shit.
Yep, exactly that. Exactly that. And there was a period I think some people were literally like, why the fuck are we doing this? Because we're spending like months working on these things. And some of these larger guys, like sometimes it'll be like a React channel, or a lot of times it's like these Facebook channels that just like, you know, rip the video and post them. And it was kind of like, what? And obviously at the end of the day, it's because you love it. But as I explained before about the just that lovely exploration of animation and the journey that you go on, it's not always sunshine and rainbows and Elon Musk. It is sometimes the darker side of things, you know, and it is. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, having to go through that and then seeing what happens to it, that can be frustrating. But at the end of the day, that's why right now, take a look at how many animators there are right now. I don't know how long you guys have been following Newgrounds animators, but if you take a look at how many were around back in like 2011, 2010, 2012, compared to now, there are not very many of us now.
It's an extinction event. So
YouTube exiled.
Dying breed.
Yeah. Yeah. You're the last of the primes.
YouTube would be thriving for people like animators and original content creators if they cared even half as much about protecting their own creators as they do about big companies. Like, you know, the copyright shit where you'll make a vlog and maybe your TV is playing in the background and there's like a Taylor Swift song. So your video gets pulled down because some shitty 2 seconds of her song got caught in your vlog. Yeah. So now all your channel gets a strike.
Yeah.
If instead of that, at least in addition to that, they did something like, hey, it appears that the video just uploaded is a re-upload of this animation somebody else made on their channel. So we're going to put a mandatory link to their channel onto your video. Yeah. Something like
they
that.
They do. Yeah. You got to know something. There is a mandatory way, a manual way to do that, a content ID. So if you have a network, they can go around finding re-uploads and they will link it back to yours. But you got to have the manpower to do it. Someone like Chris, like Oni, or a lot of these guys who create like viral videos, they will need like that's a full-time job for somebody to go around the internet.
What are you gonna do, right? Like, are you gonna track down every 15-year-old in Thailand who's ripping your video?
But at the end,
riploading.
Yeah, riploading.
It's a national pastime in Thailand to ripload.
Dude, that's Asia. That's always been
it's
80s.
Always been true.
Dude, Asia has always been doing that.
And this is being said by an actual Asian man.
By an Asian who grew up doing it.
Oh. You're Asian?
I'm half Taiwanese.
Get off our podcast.
I have Chinese.
Yeah, go somewhere else and rip videos, you fuck.
Even the mangas I have are all like photocopied, like glued photocopied books of just manga.
Oh my God.
That's not a lie.
Pirate.
That's absolutely true.
Oh, now I get the name Rice Pirate.
Yeah.
Rice because he's Asian.
But I was going to say, in all honesty, and to be very kind of open and blunt about it, is with the whole animation thing and audiences kind of going in a different direction, like, you know, not watching as many animations, I think that, yes, the system didn't help. But I also, I don't think it's so much the system's fault. Again, it didn't help. But audience mm-hmm. nowadays, and I've asked people straight up, audiences nowadays, yeah, they like animation. They think it's cool, but they love streams. They love podcasts. They love YouTube drama. They love these things. And it's and not just because they're videos. Getting force-fed them. It is part of, yeah, it's part of their, yeah,
it's all gotten more compact. Everything needs to be shorter and quicker. They look at a video yeah. and go, oh, it's longer than a minute. I'm not watching that.
Exactly. That is an actual fear. And that sucks to think that I want to create a series. And when I see an 8 minute mark on an animation, I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I should probably wrap up whatever I'm doing. And okay, I'm going to watch this now. Oh, you know what? I'll watch it later. You know, like 8 minutes, really? That's not long at all. I watched fucking all of Stranger Things yesterday. But when it comes to like an online video, for some reason, when you see like 8 to 10, obviously this is a podcast, this is different. It's the mentality of it, right? And so with animations, I don't know, man. I don't think it's all the system. I think audiences are changing, and some of them don't love animation as much as animators love making them.
I agree with you, but I don't think it's also just the audience and the system. I think it's also the creators giving people a false sense, because these days you have all of those people who make all of that cookie cutter, shitty, easy content, sure. like vlogs and Minecraft gameplay, but all they do all day is tell their audiences that what they do is difficult and expensive.
That's true. Right?
You'll have somebody like Onision who goes on camera and talks about how people need to donate to his fucking Patreon because he needs to afford his third home, which he uses as a studio.
But isn't that ironic? Ironic or serious?
No, he's serious.
His channel died. I almost want to edit his name out just to make sure nothing else gets driven there. His channel has actually died. 16-year-olds
watching him think he's serious, right?
Yeah.
And he's just, I'm just using him as an example. Yeah. Think of all the people who make like 2-hour Minecraft videos. Sure. And they're talking about how much effort it takes to edit this. Yeah. You dumb faggot. Like, all you do is play video games. You pull it online. It doesn't take a whole lot of effort, okay? You don't need like $10,000 on your Patreon. You lying sack of shit.
Yeah.
You know who needs that? Actual people who put in effort for every second of animation.
Yeah.
Editing of any kind.
The problem is Patreon is supposed to compensate for a gap of a release in the schedule. It's like, hey, I can't put out a video every day, so I'm not going to get that ad revenue or all this attention or whatever. So I need this Patreon because, you know, there's a gap in my content. But instead, Patreon becomes, hey, I'm getting all this ad revenue for all this content I'm pumping out. Why don't you give me more money? And that's it.
Yeah. I don't think, I just don't know how anyone can really justify saying to a group of people that they're going to say straight faced, hey, I need your money so I can buy a computer, so I can buy games, so I can buy, you know, this microphone, so I can play games.
Having said that, please go support us on Patreon at patreon.com. Yes, yes.
I want to make that clear. Our Patreon has been incredibly helpful to all three of us. There's no way to actually convince you guys of it, but I now stream every goddamn game purely because of the Patreon. Yes, I stream every game, man.
I don't get why people cannot simply say, hey, if you want to support us, do it because you want to.
Right.
Like, you like this content, you want to give it money. When people go to our Patreon, They like, for just $1 a month, they get extra content, right?
Right.
And we don't have to write up like 2 pages of text like Onision does, where we're going to starve if you don't donate $1 to our Patreon.
That's what bothers me. It's the sob story.
That
stories.
Attitude, right?
Yeah.
Like, again, you play video games.
Nobody owes you
them.
Shit.
This is something you were going to do anyway. Yeah. Like, this isn't difficult content. You don't need a big budget for it. What are you talking about?
I know
about?
Times are tough, and if you're creating something you're passionate about and your day job isn't covering the gap in the money, I get it. That's hard. And you can ask people. You can be honest. You can say, "Hey, listen, times are tough for me. Obviously, if you guys like what I'm making right now, if you like this thing, whether it's a series or a podcast or animation, whatever the fuck, music, if you want to support that, it would help so much. But to sit there and stare in the microphone and tell people that they need to give you money, and there are people like DSP and shit, who fucking say, you guys aren't giving enough. I need more. I, you know, how am I supposed to pay for this house? I give everything I got. I've been playing games, blah, blah, blah. And tough, you know, times are tough. Life is hard, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, dude, nobody owes you shit, especially your fans. They're already supporting you by watching you, by caring about what you make. To sit there and try to squeeze money out of people in every opportunity, I don't get it. I don't get it. And you know what? Some people are happy to do it. Honest supporters are like, they're unfazed by it. They want to help. They want to be there. And I get, that's great. That is so awesome. And that's why Patreon works, because there are so many generous, awesome people. But to have creators like reprimand their fans for not being supportive enough, just that is that entitlement mentality that, and I know people hate that word, but there are a lot of entitled motherfuckers that should have been spanked a lot more as kids. They needed to be bullied more, honestly. Something needed to happen. That didn't happen.
God, I love you. No, I don't know if it's because we're both drunk and in sync, but no. I'm 100% on your page. It's this motherfucker's just say you want money. Well, that isn't evil. That doesn't make you a bad person to say, I want to earn money.
Yeah.
Why do you lie to these? Like, some of them are kids, like 13-year-old kids who's donating his allowance to you because he actually thinks they're going to be unable to feed your children if he doesn't. Yeah. You evil cunt.
Yeah.
But anyway, listen, Mick, I'm going to ask you a question I always ask every animator we have on.
Oh.
Which is, so with the state everything is in, have you ever been tempted to just say fuck it and do those like Elsa Spider-Man kind of animations? You know those?
Yes.
Well, and to piggyback off that, furry porn.
Yeah. Anything deplorable, really. Is
can
it?
You draw so, us naked?
Yeah. So some people know this, some people don't. But I do run in circles. I'm pretty close with people that do stuff on that spectrum. Not necessarily that grotesquely like baity. They do what they want to do. They're not just, it's not clickbait. But definitely on that side of the internet, that side of content. And honestly, I don't know if it's because I got into this when I was older, because I didn't start doing all this shit till I was 30. So I'm 80 years old now. I'll be 82 like in a couple months. But
you age 2 years for every two
yes,
months.
That's why I'm 82. I age faster than everybody. But yeah, I just, the things that I want to do aren't those things. And if they were, then I can't. I don't fault people who do that, and I don't look at them like, wow, way to draw furry porn, dude. If anything, it's like, if you love doing that, if you honestly love doing it, power to you. Fucking do it.
Charlie, he's giving you the go-ahead.
Go start it. Do it. Follow your dreams.
Here comes the MS Paint furry porn everyone's been begging for.
Gay. You know there's a market for that. There has to be.
Follow like, really your gay animal drawn. Sex dreams, Charlie.
There's a very large market for that. They make
absolutely.
They make more money than you and your friends combined.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely they do. And you know, a lot of them have like these paywall patrons. I don't know if Patreon kept those. I think they cracked down on some of them. But back in the day, they had like those paywall ones.
No way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
When?
Not that long ago. There was quite a few people.
Nope. This one's still up and running.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. They still got
it. Which one? Send me the link. Put it in.
Jay Naylor. That's the one I always. I don't. Maybe there's probably bigger ones, but
yeah.
The one I know is on Patreon. Jay Naylor makes 10K a fucking month drawing like cat pussy.
Yeah.
He's probably like a rock star to them.
Absolutely. And, you know, makes a good living doing it. And if they also wake up every day happy to do it, power to them.
Wait, but Kai, me, I just realized we got to, I just got to take a second. You just said he draws cat pussy.
Yeah.
Isn't that redundant?
Pussy squared.
Go on, Mick.
Pussy box. But yeah, so with that stuff, that's great. It really, where it gets me is when you see people making Minecraft videos or Minecraft animations or stuff like that, where you know they're not fans and they're open about it. That annoys me. People who make content who aren't passionate about it, and it is kind of, it's like, dude, you're going to go down that route and you don't even love doing it. Do you have no shame? You know what I'm saying though? It's like, if you're going to go down that route, love it. Cause you're going down a route that's going to make it harder for you to get a job in the workforce. If you ever wanted to go there, you know, when you grow up or whatever the fuck you want to call it. And for me, I've always been a little bit less edgy than my edgier friends, like Stamper or Zach or Chris or any of those guys. And I think that's actually helped me get jobs at like Disney or Nickelodeon and stuff like that because of that. I'm not saying that that was always my strategy.
You got jobs at Disney and Nickelodeon?
I've done like voice gigs and stuff. But I don't...
Jesus.
I don't think that... That's not why... I mean, I've done SleepyCast. I'm doing this. I swear I talk about shit. It's not like I'm, you know, God, I'm old.
Well, we're like Disney.
You know what I mean, though, is that if you're going to go down that route, be passionate about it because you're really going to go down that route. And if you're not passionate about it and you're just cashing in on people who clearly have like a fetish, you know, it's almost like a drug. It's like a drug dealer. You know what I mean? Personally, I want a drug dealer who appreciates the drugs he's selling. You know, I want a guy who knows what he's selling me. If I get coke from this dude and I ask him how it is, I want to know he knows how good this coke is. I don't want some dude to be like, oh, yeah, no, coke's great, dude. I smoked like four pipes of that shit, man. It was rocking. It's like, what? You know, I want to know.
You also got to think about the demand. I mean, if there's a shitload of people that want this very specific thing and this guy's the only one doing it.
That's true.
He can totally.
The demand for coke has only been going up.
It has. Yeah. During this podcast, it's gone up quite a bit.
I wonder if the demand for cat pussy's gone up more though. Which one? That's true. Which?
That's an interesting question. Do more people do cocaine or jack off to furries?
We'll need. Oh,
I think there would be an overlap.
Yeah, there's definitely an overlap for sure. And some of them are probably like once you've done enough coke or once you've watched enough, you know. Furry porn, you want one or the other.
So Mick, have you ever watched furry porn? Do you enjoy furry porn?
What's my go-to furry porn?
Yeah. What do you like?
Can you recommend any videos?
I'll say this. I can't recommend videos, but my YouTube history would say otherwise. Ooh. And that's only because and you're not gonna find it because I erased it.
Research. Oh, you
damn
yep,
it.
It's gone. Ooh. And it's because a bunch of my friends came over. I won't name names, but one of them was Zach Psychic Pebbles. Came over to my house and watched a bunch of full diaper furry videos.
Zach did the same thing to me.
That's on my search history.
That included, that also included, I think, Rat Gets Shot by Arrow. Rat Set on Fire.
Another great one.
Rat dancing.
Mick, I can only get so creepy 3D one.
Yeah, lots of rat sings. What else was there?
Are the
beheaded cow?
Are the rumors? Yeah. Are the rumors real? Does Zach always draw little cat whiskers on his face?
Yeah, always. How'd you know? Who told you that?
Zach, you're welcome to come back on the podcast.
If you ever go to a con and you see a strong buff little man with whiskers drawn on his face. That's it.
That's not a cat.
No, it's not a cat. It's not a hulking cat lurking the floor. That's Zach Adel. No.
Oh fuck.
No, my experience with furry porn is basically. I think there was some stuff on Newgrounds I saw by accident, but that's about it.
There was a shitload of hentai back in early Newgrounds. There was a ton of it being uploaded to there, right?
There still is.
Oh, okay.
If you're going to really try to out me like that, I'll say this. On Pornhub, you can even find this, but I believe it used to be a game. I think it's called Best Friends. It's about these two, it's about one dick girl and her normal girl, and they're best friends, and her dick is huge. It's like bigger than her torso or something. But it's very well rendered. Look it up. I think it's called Best Friends.
I hate those.
Very, very well animated. Proportions not absolutely accurate, but
I hate when my best friend does that.
You just reminded me of a very sore spot. A little moment of silence for Advid podcast listeners. I mentioned my favorite lesbian porn video on like episode 5. I went back to look for it. It has now been taken off the internet.
No!
So a moment of silence.
What? I was going to do a review of it.
Yeah.
That's
well, I mean,
bullshit.
It's like a 240p re-upload, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
RedTube took it down.
You're sure it's not re-uploaded somewhere? It's got to be somewhere.
That's bullshit.
I checked extensively. It was a RedTube exclusive that somebody took the liberty of re-uploading in like 2009, so it's bad quality.
Mick,
but
listen, can I
look
ask you
for the thumbnail and tin eye that thumbnail? You know,
Mick,
tin eye. It's a reverse image search.
I used to use that to find
Mick.
Porn gifts. The source.
Mick, I've got.
Wait, you used to do what? Sorry.
I used to, like, if I just saw, like, a GIF of porn somewhere that I thought looked promising, I'd reverse image search it on Tinder.
Yeah, find the video.
Sorry, somebody was saying something. I kept cutting them off with my
Mick, I'm sorry. I have breaking news from the show floor. Is the video in question my best friend's secret?
Because
I am watching it as we speak. It is a two very shiny women.
They're very shiny.
They are incredibly shiny, and one of them has a dick that goes basically to her chin.
Yeah. Is she blonde? Is that the blonde girl?
Well, that's just for Tanari.
They are both black-haired, but one of them has braces, and the other has glasses.
Way wrong. Yeah, no. Okay. No braces.
All right, I would
ask. Futanari.
What is that alarm? Who's escaping prison right now?
It's the Futanari alarm. It's the Kevin Spacey alarm. Get him.
He's inside it. Jesus Christ, it actually is. I'll be right back.
It's the House of Cards alarm. It's back for a new season.
It's an actual prison alarm. Who is this?
It's Jackson's apartment complex. It's going on lockdown.
It's like Dredd locking down the apartment complex. Like, Mama locked it down. She's coming for the judges.
What you don't hear off the air is Jackson spun around in his chair and he went, "So they found me, huh?" And then his apartment converted to like a battle station.
Jackson, why are you like, you're like the black guy from Police Academy, but you don't actually want to be like, there's always these weird sound effects like fucking chickens clucking and birds and you watching ads and alarms. What
are you in a Russian prison? Where the fuck are you?
It seems like they've got him.
Australia, which is pretty close. Okay. It's a prison island.
Have you seen the documentaries of it, Mad Max? That's basically how he lives, Mick.
That's awesome.
Well, Mick, as another host has just been taken into custody, I guess we can switch gears to another topic. So you mentioned voice acting and some pretty big things. What did you do for Disney and Nickelodeon? Because I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, so on the opposite spectrum of all this, I did an in-house reel for them for Disney, and they're actually how I got my agent, which I can't thank them enough. Aaron Drown, thank you, all those guys, Hannah. They're the ones. I did an in-house reel. So basically it's just like you go in, you read a bunch of scripts. You don't try to mimic any voices they have. You just do your own versions. And they were super supportive. I just moved to LA to Burbank from Philly. And they hooked me up with an agency. And through the agency, I've gotten a number of gigs. But one of them recently, like a couple weeks ago, was over at Nick. It was for Blaze and the Monster Machines. And the coolest thing about it, like, no one's going to know that show. I know none of you guys see it. I don't even know if it's just on the web or whatnot. But I was directed by Charlie Adler. And if you don't know who Charlie Adler is, he was the voice of Cow and Chicken and Redman. He was also the original Starscream.
Charlie Adler.
Yep. He is a fucking legend. And the fact that I got to work with him for an hour, I don't care what I could have been doing hentai walla sounds. I don't give a shit. Like, just, you know, whatever. I could do that for 2 hours and be perfectly happy just being directed by the guy. I don't really ooze about a lot of people, but the guy he's fucking awesome. I've just loved everything he's done as a kid, and he's super chill. He looks like if Robin Williams was a 60-year-old pirate with like white hair and tattoos. He's super buff, like super buff, could crush your head with his biceps.
Like Robin Williams.
Yeah, like Robin Williams. And he curses like nobody's business. that was fun. Other than that, there hasn't been a whole lot of shit. You guys ever played Clash of Clans? Nobody.
I have some friends who do. I've seen it.
Okay. I've done some stuff for they got this update thing I do. It's called, I think, Flash Royale. And then there's also, what's it called? Paladins and Smite. Those are two those are by Hi-Rez. I've done a few characters.
Yeah. Who did you do in Smite?
Smite, I was Kernanos, the original. I know they do a lot of skins. So I was Kernanos. He's the deer-headed dude. And then I was also the Yurikai, the arrow guy,
good old arrow guy. What about Paladins? My girlfriend's a huge fan of that game.
Paladins,
it's okay. I didn't make the game. I'm not offended.
Paladins, I was the Mecha Fernando.
Oh shit!
It was kind of like a Gundam suit. It might be hard to tell. They did a lot of effects where it was kind of like through like a radio comm and stuff. All great. I've done a few little things at some studios that I shouldn't say too much about. But other than that, yeah, just lots of things. Just union stuff that I kind of have to be a little bit careful about. But
oh, you're in the union?
Nice. Yes. Oh, wait, are you in the union? Are we union members? Yeah.
No, but we talked about it on the last episode.
Did you really?
We had on a voice. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know if you know him. He's also a voice actor, not in the union. So just interesting to have somebody who is in the union.
There's a ton of great work. I mean, a lot of anime stuff, a lot of video game stuff, non-union. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of opportunities.
Are you happy about the way they settle things?
I honestly don't give a shit. Strike? It doesn't affect me. It affects the top 1% of voice actors, honestly. Like, it didn't really affect. I mean, honestly, everyone who was out there marching, I'd say maybe a couple of those guys are really affected by the decision. Most of the people that got affected by it were probably busy working somewhere else than striking. You know, they were probably working on another project somewhere else. That's not to say that it's not important that people stand up for, you know, better rates. I do think voice actors, especially in video games, get taken advantage of. When you hear about the whole story with GTA 4 and that dude, that was just a travesty. If you don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't know the story.
That's the one where you're like Russian or something, right? Or like Serbian.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
So like that guy apparently was getting paid like garbage, and they had him recording in very just the amount that he had to record and the conditions for it just weren't very cool. At the end of the day, he was part of something amazing. And so it's kind of hard for a voice actor to be like, I don't know. A lot of times your desire to work kind of overwrites the part of your brain that's taking that, you know, self-preservation. You kind of just want the work. But I think it got to a point where he spoke out about it. But I think it was because of things like that and similar scenarios where finally they were like, look, if you're going to work on a AAA game, this game's going to make millions and millions of dollars and you're going to be recording a shitload. You need to be taken care of and compensated, you know, right.
Sense. What I understand, we also mentioned this on the last episode, according to the new agreement, apparently only now will you also be told that, you know, you will actually be working on a AAA game. Mm-hmm. You will be taking care of all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So besides the payment, then I also want to ask you, because we asked our last guest, ProZD, about how he feels about it. Now, according to the new agreements, you can actually be told a little bit about what project you're taking on.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you know, what are the working conditions? How much do I have to scream?
Is there going to be
any things like racial slurs?
Yeah.
Do you care about that sort of stuff? Have you ever turned down a role where you felt like...
I haven't turned down roles so much as I've definitely handed in an audition that I hoped I didn't get. And that... So like if it's like an orc character where I know I'm going to be screaming for an hour, and I've gotten those gigs, and that's why I'm like, fuck, man. I don't even know why I submitted this. I really hope I don't get this role. Because doing it for 2 hours would just destroy me for the week. But as far as like slurs and all that stuff, I haven't had to turn anything down yet. I think the only thing I'd probably turn down is, but see, I wouldn't even submit for it, honestly, would be probably political shit. I don't like to get involved in politics, and I realize a job is a job and all that, but I don't know, there's something about it that just, I don't like being the voice of that.
Yeah.
No,
I agree, right. Because I feel like if you did that, people would blame you, even though all you're doing is reading lines somebody else wrote.
Yeah, or I would, you know, like even if it's, I'm sure I could justify it in some way, but I just can't. I can't even do that, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been about an hour and a half, so we can start
to wrap up.
There's
the alarm again.
Yeah, well, no,
it was a fire alarm.
It's still going.
Jackson's time portal is closing.
I'll come back for a little bit.
Yo, did you
it's
guys...
like RoboCop arresting you. What's going on?
I don't know if you guys ever check Netflix, which is basically just like a graveyard of movies, but like occasionally they drop a few like classics in there. But I saw Time Cop recently again, and it's kind of just as bad as I remember it, but just as good. Like just as goodly bad as I remember it. Oh, Time Cop.
I never saw Time Cop.
I only need to watch Time Cop.
This is how old I am. I signed up for Netflix
last week to watch Stranger Things and Narcos. That's it.
You know,
did you see? Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to ask if you saw Stranger Things, but what were you going to say?
I was going to change the subject a little bit, but you mentioned that you are an old man, and I can repeat the question louder if I have to. But playing off that oldness, the one quick snippet I'm really curious about is, what do you miss most about the pre-internet world?
Yeah, as a 68-year-old man, what do you think has changed?
That's a very good question, Billy.
Are you upset about black people getting rights?
I mean, Mick, when did the internet really boom? Like, you were probably, what, 15?
Yeah. How is this fucking alarm still going? It's a false alarm, and it's been going for 10 minutes now. It's so annoying.
You don't know it's false.
Yeah, it could be. No. Maybe that's why it's still going.
A voice is saying, this is a false alarm. This is a false alarm. The all clear has been given.
Remain calm, all citizens. The judges will be on the streets shortly. Comply with your law officer.
So to answer your question, when I was a young wee lad, the internet really was just chat rooms. It was, you would do that dial tone sound. You know what I'm talking about? That beautiful tune. Yeah. Somebody plugged that.
Dial up.
Boom.
Modem.
Yep.
Modem.
And then you'd basically just land in a chat room and there'd just be random people. And you would just talk to people. And that was what the internet was for a very, 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 very long time. For like a year, maybe. And then, stuff. Then there was like games. I remember trying to play games with people. It was always a pain in the ass. But Warcraft had it. Even way back in like the early 90s, Warcraft had it. And it was, I don't know, man. It was different. You know what's interesting is there's a speech made by Jim Carrey in The Cable Man, where he's lying atop a large satellite as a lightning storm is the canvas behind him. And over some dramatic music, he gives a very eloquent speech about what he predicts the future will be in terms of what the future in the internet and entertainment will be. Mm-hmm. And if you watch that and you look at the year that it was created and you look at what was happening with the internet then compared to now, it's actually really fucking creepy. I remember hearing that it was the ravings of a madman. That's what he was supposed to be. He was supposed to be insane. He was supposed to be this crazy dude. And at the time, there was nothing like what he was saying. He talks about how you should be able to play Mortal Kombat with some kid in Thailand. You'd be able to look up any information at the touch of your fingertips and your phone would be connected to your TV and to everything and blah, blah, blah. It went on this whole thing. And if you look at the timeline, that was so far from reality. And to see how it was like, it's like Nostradamus was channeled through that movie. So as shitty as that movie was and as much shit as it gets, that speech alone is pretty fucking cool. You should definitely check it out.
So to summarize what you're saying, the pre-internet world was basically like watching The Cable Man.
Yes.
Starring Jim Carrey.
Just watch. If you want to know what it was like before internet, watch Cable Man. Okay.
That's the one.
That's it.
That's the best documentary on pre-internet era. Look at your history book. Yeah.
Creation of the internet.
Documents.
Everything about the internet. That's internet 101. Watch Cable Man.
Good enough.
All right. Well, I think it's time to start wrapping up. We've been going for an hour and a half. Thank you, Mick. So, thank you for coming on our prestigious little show.
Absolutely. Dude, I am honored. Mick, I'm still baffled how I even showed up here.
Plug your things. Do it.
Google Rice Pirate if you want.
Where can I ripload you at?
yeah. On Newgrounds, on YouTube, it's Rice Pirate Newgrounds. On Newgrounds, it's Rice Pirate YouTube. It's not. It's just Rice Pirate.
Do you? I know you don't like politics and all, but do you stand with Kaya on the Pepper Parade?
Just say no. He's trying to trick you with clever language and silly wording. Just say no, or you come out as a racist. Trust me.
I don't.
Do you like peppers and men who suffer?
I'm not a Nazi. That's all I can say. All
right. Good. So he says no.
So yes, start with Kaya.
No.
God damn it.
All right. Jesus. Let's end this before Kai goes on a rant.
All right. I love you guys.
Thank you
so much again for having me on.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on, dude.
Yeah, no, we appreciate you coming on, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm going to make sure, just cut me off already, please, because I'm just ready.
Well, you can just stay in the call. We can just wrap up the episode recording.
We're not actually all going separate ways.
Please edit this awkward ending, please.
Yes.
Please.
No. My alcohol twice as loud.
My talk juice is wearing off right now. I can't talk right. Okay.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Patreon. Bye. Thank you, viewers. Bye. Thank you, everyone. Bye.